Good afternoon, Saints. This is Chloe DiPilato coming to you from Windsor, Connecticut again. And the date is February 22nd. I think this is actually George Washington's birthday. So let's just thank God for the father of our country and go to prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you this day for your goodness, your loving kindness, your mercy. Lord, I pray for your anointing upon my words this day. Father, I pray for the prophetic spirit. Lord, I pray, Lord, that the testimony of Jesus will come forth clearly through my words, Lord, that your spirit is bearing witness, for we know that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So I just pray, Lord, that that prophetic anointing would be here, Lord, even as you spoke to me in the night what I should share today, that, Lord, truly it would be graced with the sweet spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. I'm not sure, again, what shape this word will take. As you know, I've said before that when we consider the words of Isaiah, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, I tend to be the here a little and there a little. So the Holy Spirit has to, within your own heart, make sense of things that I'm pulling out of the air to form this word. So thank you, Lord Jesus. And in the night, what I got from the Lord, usually what I do is choose from my devotionals what is the most quickened. But in the night, I got from the Lord that today I'm to share on the local church. And so I said, oh, okay, that means I'll talk about things that make a good local church. And the Spirit said, nope. And then I thought, well, I'll talk about how is a good way to start a local church. And the Spirit said, nope. And then I said, Lord, then what exactly am I supposed to talk about as far as the local church is concerned? And he just spoke to my heart, just share about the local church. And so that was a little complicated, because you want to feel like you've got a some kind of an outline in your spirit, or something to some kind of a framework that you can talk from. And I wasn't getting anything like that from the Spirit, but I guess what the Lord wanted was for me to speak out of my own experience and my own knowledge of the local church. And so I set myself to seek the Lord on this subject. And I felt that I was to read some chapters in the Bible, and I read them. I really immersed myself in these chapters, and I know this is by no means exhaustive. It's just a little piece of where we might find something out about the local church. And so I read, and for those who at all are listening to me, I don't want to say following me, because I'm not seeking to have a following. But for those who listen or feel the Spirit leading them this way, you might want to also read these same chapters just to get them in your heart and in your spirit. And obviously, I'm not going to read them right now, because that would make this way too lengthy. But what I felt in my spirit to read was the parable of the 10 pounds or the 10 talents. I felt to read that first, just to remind myself of our obligation to obey the Lord and to always put God first as far as who we obey. When there's no conflict, you don't have to worry. But if man is telling you to do one thing and God is telling you to do another thing, you need to obey the highest authority in your life, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. So I read that, but then I felt quickened to read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, all about body ministry and gifts of the Spirit and how prophecy works, and sandwiched in between it, of course, the love chapter, which is our modus operandi, is the way we should minister and the spirit we should minister out of. And then also to read the whole book of Ephesians. So I read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, and then the whole book of Ephesians. And I just gleaned a few things out of there that I want to share. When I was done with my reading and just pouring over those scriptures and letting the Lord highlight what he wanted to highlight to my spirit, then it came to me, look up the phrase local church. So I got my concordance and I looked up the phrase, the word local. The word local is not in the Bible. So there's no such thing as quote unquote local church in the Word of God. However, we know that if we go to Acts on the day of Pentecost, when the church was birthed, when the church was formed in the New Testament, of course, the church, we know the church has been there ages upon ages, because the Bible talks about the church in the wilderness. So there's always been a church. But if we put a mark on Acts 2 and we learn about the church there and how the church was formed and birthed, the Bible says that they broke bread from house to house and they, let me read it. Let me go and read it so I don't misquote. This is an important chapter, very important chapter to our foundations in the faith, and very important verse. Okay, let me see. I think it's verse 46. Yes, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They continued daily in the temple, and daily they were breaking bread from house to house. And I've heard preachers talk about how that temple experience denotes the apostles' doctrine, and when the whole church comes together to hear the man of God who understands doctrine and apostolic things declares unto us teaching regarding apostolic things and prophetic things, and that is the big picture. And then the smaller meetings are from house to house, where you get together and you have fellowship and you break bread. But I want to just put something out to you. Thinking of that Geico scripture, or that Geico scripture, that Geico commercial, where the man orders a pizza. And when the pizza comes, there's a slice missing from the pizza. And then you think about, there's another one where the man has is having his house painted, and it only shows a portion of his house painted when he was expecting the full house painted. And then I think there's another one where somebody is in the dental chair and they're expecting their teeth to be cleaned, and the man who is there is not the real dentist. He just figures out what's wrong and then leaves the guy in the chair. And so the reason I bring all that up is to go to a scripture that is going to be a major part of what I'm sharing today. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I ask you for your grace and your understanding upon this word, because I believe in the spirit that I'm going somewhere and that this will set people free that need to be set free, and bring people into alignment and that need to be brought into alignment, that need to be brought into divine order. And Lord, Father, I confess that I'm one that needs to be probably brought into divine order more than I need to be set free. So Jesus, have your way in this word, Lord. Do your full work in this word. Verse 26, now 12, 13, 14, 13, chapter 13, 1 Corinthians, the love chapter. When I read that, I looked at it verse upon verse and I thought, my, I can see the local church either for good or for bad in each, just about every one of these verses. I can see a local church that has people operating out of a spirit of love and generosity and liberality in the spirit. And then I can see also those who are not functioning in the love of God, who are functioning in a different spirit. And so that's this 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians is an excellent chapter to judge the fruit of a local church. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, verse 26. Now, this is talking about the whole church. And this gets complicated just because when we think of the logistics of numbers and some of the mega churches and how large they are, how in the world could we ever see this expedited? And I have my thoughts on that, and I'll get to it. But anyway, if therefore the whole church become together into one place, the whole church come together in one place. Okay, obviously it's not talking the building because buildings can't move from place to place. Buildings are stationary. It's talking about the church, the body of Christ, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And since it's obviously very impossible for everybody on the face of the earth to gather at one time in one building, it's got to be talking about believers who can access a certain area, maybe some with more effort than others, but they can get to a locale where people are coming together who are considered to be the body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says that therefore, if the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and therefore come and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you're mad? But if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not, one that or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Now this is the verse I wanna land on. How is it then, brethren, when you come together? Are we still talking about the whole church coming together or just a select few? I don't see this scripture diverting from a large group to a small gathering. It says, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, everyone? Now, notice the comma. I have to believe that the comma is there, the jot and the tittle, the comma is there as led by the Spirit for those who put this Bible together. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. This is saying, wow, what is this saying? This sounds to me like when you walk into the door of the body of Christ where the Lord's people meet, you're expected to come in with something. The shows from the platform, the programs from the platform may be spiritual theater, but they are not local church. And better to go, and I'm not against spiritual theater. I'm not against going to a church where there's a program from a platform. In fact, I find many of them to be mightily anointed of God, mightily blessed of God. God is using them. He's doing something. He's ministering to the hearts of people. But when you walk into there, do you have the feeling in your spirit that you are free to either bring a psalm or a doctrine or a tongue or a revelation or an interpretation? Now, obviously, the Bible says, let all things be done to edifying. But when there's only a select few, again and again and again, that can bring those elements to the body of Christ, that's not a local church. That is not the whole church coming together in your area. And Lord Jesus, I'm not sure what to do with that word local, because it's not in the Bible. Just like the word rapture is not in the Bible, but yet the concept is there. The word Trinity is not in the Bible, yet the concept is there. Well, the word local is not in the Bible, yet the concept is there. I mean, Paul went to the church at Philippi, the church at Thessalonica, the church at Ephesus, the church at Corinth. He ministered to all those churches. So the idea of local church is certainly in the Bible. But what we're joining ourselves to and calling the local church, you need to be careful, because it might be something that God is doing in the earth, but it's not necessarily a local church. Now, the Bible speaks about how in the last days especially that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And for years, I mean for years, I just concluded that I was in righteousness by just getting together with saints and having a time in the Spirit, a time of fellowship, a time of seeking the Lord, time of prayer and time of worship, and that was good enough to be called to be saying that I'm forsaking not the assembling of myself together. Today I broke down that scripture. You need to go into your concordance and break it down, and you'll find out that the assembling that we're not to forsake is literally the church, where people meet to worship and praise the Lord, where there's a gathering of saints who are assembling together in a location, a building, a place where they are worshiping, and there is an agenda, and not just a happenstance gathering, but an agenda to focus on the Lord and focus on worshiping the Lord. So, as you can see from my thoughts that I'm sharing and I'm thinking, it's like this whole thing about church and gatherings and what really constitutes a local church, we're kind of all over the map. And so do we need an apostle to come in and to give us the structure and the definition of what the local church is? Saints, I don't even see that in the Bible. I know a lot of people are forming structures and they're laying out the rules and the regulations, and you can go but you can't go, and you can preach but you can't preach, and you're sent but you're not sent. I'm just not seeing it in the Word of God. I am seeing where they ordained elders. In Titus it talks about they went from city to city ordaining elders. I think that's the word. And I see where they separated the apostles to prayer and fasting and to studying the word and laboring in the word of doctrine, and then there were those who were appointed to minister to there were deacons appointed to minister to the needs of the widows and the orphans and that kind of thing. But there doesn't seem to be any sense that there was rules and regulations laid out that were the same from church to church, from city to city. Let's consider the word city. I looked that word up today too. And I think that when you consider the word city, that goes well with the thought of the apostles' doctrine and the bigger meeting, where you go and you sit and you listen to a man of God who breaks forth the word, brings forth the word, and then the house might be more akin to the smaller meeting where we can actually see, and yet it's a whole when the whole church has come together. Maybe that word whole is not speaking so much of numbers and a large gathering as is speaking of the whole loaf, of the whole counsel of God being in the midst of the people. A word, a psalm, a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. The whole loaf. The whole loaf. So I think that we probably need to consider the local church or the whole church to be a place where wholeness is ministered, not just a fraction. You can have a great big huge church, a mega church, that is just preaching a one-note message of salvation, not ministering to the needs of the mature believer, not praying for the sick, not prophesying over people that need a word from the Lord, not opening the atmosphere for people to obey the Lord, of course, all decently and in order. There should be spiritual authority there that has a guiding eye to see where the Spirit is flowing and to encourage it. But in those huge, large churches, that might not be the whole church because it's not ministering the whole loaf, whereas a little body of believers, a smaller body of believers who have freedom in the atmosphere, that everything that the Lord is doing or that he wants to manifest can be manifested. You go on in this chapter of 1 Corinthians 14, and I won't read it all, but a lot of activity there. And the Lord gives liberty to just about everyone in the room. When you think about it, those who are going to prophesy, those who are going to give a revelation, there's prophecy, there's tongues, tongues and interpretation. When you see all that, there's not just a little handful of people speaking up. It's a lot of activity. And so I've said before that I want to be careful to honor the whole thing, that everything God's doing. And I believe that he is doing a lot of things. And I believe that he's in theatrical church. It may not be what you like when you walk in the doors, but accept it for what it is. It's a program from the platform. Accept it for what it is, and don't be offended by it. And the reason I'll tell you why you shouldn't be offended by it is because no doubt someone is being ministered to. And I mean into the very depths of their soul, they're being ministered to. Something that man of God is saying from the platform is ministering to someone. Someone is hearing his voice and coming to a knowledge of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever is happening in that big meeting, in that theatrical location where they're having church's theater, and the Lord's even helped me to have grace for nightclub church, and I didn't think that would ever happen. And when I say nightclub church, I mean these churches where they're turning out all the lights and they got the strobe lights flowing on the worship leaders, and I have found that to be a big offense. I've said to myself, no way. Do they have nightclubs in heaven? They don't have nightclubs in heaven, and this is just copying the world. But God has even given me grace for that. And what is the grace that he's given me? To understand that maybe if even one is having a breakthrough in the realm of the Spirit to really connect with God despite all of that, then I can be at peace. I don't have to be provoked in my spirit. You know, if something is provoking you in your spirit, you're lacking the love of God. I saw that today in 1 Corinthians 13, how love is not easily provoked. And oh my Lord, didn't I have to get before the Lord? Because I've seen where my spirit has been very easily provoked by things I don't like. I've really gotten to be in my bonnet when something happens I don't like. I've really gotten stirred up when somebody preaches a message that is crossfire with the way I believe. And I'm easily offended. And the Lord showed me, ooh, this is something that you need to correct. This is something you need to work on. And I've been praying, Lord, when I minister, when I speak forth, please, Jesus, help me not to be speaking out of the spirit of my offenses and what offends me. Lord, let there just be something that goes to your people, that ministers. There's so much hurt, so much damage in the body of Christ, which leads me to probably what's going to be my final point. And it's this. Some of you are saying, and I handle this so gently, because I know that a lot of why people do what they do is the foundation of it is deep wounds and deep hurt. And the Lord will not, what's that scripture? The about being broken, but how God won't break those who are wounded. The smoking flax he will not quench. And I forget. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, my fr I have a friend who would know immediately that scripture. A bruised reed will he not break, smoking flax will he not quench. And I'm not here to break any bruised reeds. And there are so many bruised reeds in the body of Christ, but I want to give this in all gentleness, and this word boils down to this. If you're not connected to a local church, if you're not connected, if you're not at some point in the month or at least once a month being in a place where you can hear the apostles' doctrine, if you're not availing yourself of those ministries, you really need to think about doing it. And I know it's so hard for people who have been wounded or feel like they've been overlooked or feel like they've been, undersold or feel like everybody else gets a chance, but you don't get a chance. You feel like you've done everything to seek the Lord, to pray, and yet you find yourself not affirmed when you've been so faithful. I remember years ago I was in a situation where I felt like I couldn't have been any more faithful. I was in every church service. I just did everything I knew to be a part and to show faithfulness. And then another woman came along, and she'd go to church if she felt like it, didn't go to church when she didn't feel like it, just didn't seem to have any striving in her whatsoever. I was full of striving, she had none. And then she was chosen over me, not so much that we were in competition, but the Lord made a place for her and not for me. And I'm very careful to say it was the Lord, because advancement, man may think they're advancing you, but if man's advancing you, it came from God. It's God that promotes one and sets down another. God puts one up and sets down another. Read Psalm 75, and you'll learn just about from where promotion comes. He's the one who weighs the hearts and tries the spirits. And maybe the Lord knew there was something of humility in her, where in me, I was just so proud of all my striving that he couldn't use me at that point. And so I received that and I accept it. Thank you, Jesus. But getting back to why you need to be in the local church, and it's real easy to say, well, but I am the local church, or I am the church, because you understand how we're talking about the body of Christ, and how Christ is a many-member body, and we're not talking about a building. So your relationship with Jesus is all you need. That's all you need, and you're part of the church, or you are the church. Well, I need to tell you this, and I don't want to hurt your feelings, but no, you're not the church. You're a part of the church. Christ is a many-member body, and Paul talks about to the Corinthians how if the whole body were the hearing, if the whole body was an ear, well then where was the smelling or the tasting? I forget exactly what body parts he used, but it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and you can read that. And so and if There, if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more of those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And on it goes. You need to be connected to the local church because you need to be a part of the body of Christ. You need to be where you can hear. You need to be where you can see. And it might not be exactly your eyes that are hearing, or your ears that are seeing, or your nose that is sniffing out, and the nose speaks of discernment. You might not be the one that has that part, so you need to be a part. Is your relationship with Jesus enough? Your relationship with Jesus is very important. We can go back to 1 Corinthians 14:26. You have to get something from God in the secret place if you're going to be the one that is bringing a tongue or a revelation or an interpretation or a psalm or a doctrine. Certainly, you wouldn't go to the house of God and think you're going to open your mouth and start speaking if you haven't been waiting on the Lord, if you haven't been getting something from God. You'd be foolish. You'll make an idiot of yourself if you go into the house of God and think you can speak up if you spend absolutely no time with him. Now, that would just be nonsense. So you know that if you're going to bring your portion into the body of Christ, to the local church, you have your relationship with the Lord is important, not only to edify yourself, but so that you have your part to bring to the local church. When Samuel was in that situation of his first hearing from God, and he kept going to Eli. Because the Lord was calling him, only he didn't discern the Lord's voice. Well, the backdrop of that whole scene of where Samuel learned the voice of the Lord was that the light was going out in the temple. It says, before the light went out in the temple. Well, why did the light go out in the temple? It's because the people who were supposed to be bringing the oil to God's house were not bringing it. It was the people that were to bring oil into the house so that the priests could light the lamps in the temple. And there's no oil in God's house. There's no true flowing of oil in God's house if the people are not made to understand that they need to bring their portion. They need to bring their doctrine. They need to bring their revelation. They need to bring their tongue. They need to bring their interpretation. It's not left up to the priesthood. It's not left up to the apostles and the prophets and the pastors and the teachers and the evangelists. It's the people that are to bring of what they have gained and what they've learned and what they have heard from the Lord and the Spirit into the house of God. And then how the Lord uses the apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists is that they know how to cause it to flow together and to work together to minister to the whole body. We need the whole church is speaking of the whole full loaf. It's speaking of every part. It's speaking of the whole pizza. It's speaking of the whole house painted. And if you want to be part of the whole, you need to bring your part so that there's nothing missing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, I was saying, and I want to say another thing of why it's important to be part of the local church. Couple of things. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and that's in Hebrews 10:25. I adjure you, I admonish you, I encourage you to take your concordance, break that down important word by word to see exactly what it means. It doesn't mean just hanging out with other Christians. It means to bring yourself into a place where there's praise, there's worship, and there's the teaching of the word. It's to bring yourself into something that's, I don't know what else to call it, but church. It's church. Thank you, Jesus. It's got to be made one of those mega theatrical churches, but there's a man of God who has the word of the Lord, and you would recognize an apostle, then go. Go and be content to sit there and listen and just ask the Lord to deliver you from a critical spirit, because so many people have checked out because they think they know more, and that is really just a critical spirit. You may know a whole lot, and you may definitely even know some more, but if the Lord hasn't given you the platform to share or the way to share, you just have to wait on your word. You just have to wait till the Lord opens the door or makes a way. And the last thing I want to say about why people aren't faithful to a local church is because of pride. And I know that has to sting. Because when you've been hurt and you've been wounded again and again in a local church, you don't want anybody telling you that you're prideful. I don't want anybody telling me I'm prideful. I don't like this thing, this teaching that goes around that when someone is offended, it means they have pride. And the person who's doing the offending, well, they're free and clear. They're not prideful. They're just right up there, holy as can be, and they're not prideful. But the person who got their feelings hurt is the one who has pride. I'm not so sure I agree with that doctrine. It floats around all over the place all the time. But one thing that the Lord's made me to understand in my own spirit is that if you feel that, and he said this to me, if you feel that your relationship with me is so outstanding that you don't need anybody else speaking into your life, that you don't need any other member of the body of Christ or man of or woman of God speaking into your life, that is not wisdom. That is pride. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, again, it was a here, a little in there, a little, but Father, for those who need this word, I pray that it will make sense in their spirit, whether or not to their mind. And I pray, Lord, that you bind up any wounds that is caused by it, Lord, because it's not our intention to wound or to hurt any of your precious little ones, Lord, who are drawn close to you, Lord, in the best way they know how, and they're protecting themselves, Lord. And Father, I pray, God, that, Father, for those who have been carelessly wounding your sheep and feeling it's okay, that you would deal with them, Lord. For those who are speaking out of a spirit that's been provoked rather than being led by the Lord, Father, you being the chief shepherd of the sheep, Lord God, Father, we consider Isaiah, Lord God, Isaiah 40, that speaks about the shepherd, Lord, and how he would lead. He would gently lead those that are with young, Lord God. And Father, you didn't say gently lead the young, but gently lead those that are with young, Lord. And so, God, we pray for pastors and shepherds and those in authority over ministries that, Lord, they will be cautious in their presentation, Lord God. Father, that there would be a word spoken, Lord, rightly dividing the word of truth, Lord, but God, that your people, God, can take advantage of a word that will cause them to be changed, Lord. We know that we're being changed, God, by your glory, God. Father, changed into your image and in your likeness from glory to glory. And Lord, we know that this is by the word of the Lord. Now, Jesus, I just pray for anyone who may have heard this, who doesn't have a clue what I'm talking about because they have not come into relationship with you through your shed blood, Lord. They have not come to that place where they made you Lord of their lives, Lord, by opening themselves to your spirit and to the baptism of your spirit, of your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would lead them in a plain path. Lead them to where they can hear more truth. Lead them to where they can learn of you, Lord. And Father, in Jesus' name, even in this moment, let them, their hearts set be towards you, that they can call on your name. And Jesus, that they can know you in the fullness, Lord, of a salvation experience, Lord, and become a member of the body of Christ, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I just ask you, Lord, to bless your people this day, and that your word would go forth, Lord, in Jesus' name, as you intend for it to go forth. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.